This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia's public lecture series continues tonight with Thai architect Ratchaporn Chuchwe. Ratchaporn is co-founder of AllZone, as well as assistant professor of architecture at Bangkok's Chulalongkorn University. And her topic tonight at 7 p.m. at Publica's Black Box is Living Lightly. Ratchaporn, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Is the title of your talk tonight in reference to light, as in sunlight, or sustainability?
I would say both. And moreover, it is more on how to build upon our tropical environment.
AllZone, for example, strives for built environments which make people feel at home. What does this mean? And can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, so when we say feel at home, it means that modernity gives us a very great built environment. We build a lot of things. We have highway, we have train station, we have high-rise buildings. But sometimes, I think most of the time, and also for a lot of people, we feel like a little bit alienated. We don't know how to put ourselves properly in these places, and especially in our region, that we got all this thing from abroad, and we need to adapt ourselves with this built environment. So for our work, we would love to build something that people feel very friendly to live in. When I say to live in, it's not only at home, at your house, but to live in the city, to live in buildings, to live in public buildings.
What is the kind of environment that feels friendly to you? You know, when do you step into a place or occupy a space and say, okay, this feels like a friendly space?
You don't feel like the space say to you that don't come in, and I'm bigger than you are. You are just a little human being that you shouldn't go. Shouldn't go inside, or you shouldn't behave the way you like. But when I say the way you like, doesn't mean that you can do anything. But then you can do something that upon the social rules that acceptable. But there's so many buildings and built environment that is so dry and is so unfriendly and almost inhuman to me.
You mentioned earlier also tropical environment. What are the key things, in your opinion, that, of course, Thailand and Malaysia...
more or less the same.
More or less, yeah. Yeah. One of the things we share, the weather. What would you say are kind of the key tenets of building for a tropical environment that is hot and wet and humid and doesn't have winters per se?
Yeah, actually, we live in one of the most pleasant climate zone in the world. I realized this when I had a chance to go up north, like in a country like Norway, that it for me, a tropical person, I felt extremely cold, and I wonder why people have to live there. And actually we live in a very nice climate zone. It's hot, but it's never like really too hot. It's never too cold, as you just said, but then we take it for granted. Now we build new buildings, and we don't pay too much attention on the quality of tropical environment. We just put air conditioning everywhere, and it's getting, to my opinion, it's getting worse and worse. In the past few months, in Thailand and also Bangkok, we got the record of the hottest summer ever in 55 years. And basically, air conditioning system wouldn't help on anything. Even you turn on air conditioning system, you still feel hot. So I think we have to think more of how to live in this tropical environment as an architect, how to provide a proper environment, built environment for us to live, like how do you get more trees, how do you get ventilations, how you get shading in space. all this, I think it's not so easy given our contemporary lifestyle, but we should take care of this more.
You wrote also that you're attracted to vernacular design solutions. What does vernacular design mean? What are some examples of it?
Vernacular is a kind of broad term. Sometimes when you say vernacular, people would think that it is something in the past. But for me, it's something grown out of the place, something that originated from really the local. But talking about 21st century where globalization is everywhere, nothing would be really local, at least materials, some technology, right? But what I'm interested in is more like the contemporary vernacular ideas on how to build. All those buildings that are built, sometimes even without architects, they could give you very interesting solution of how people cope up with their problems of space, of tectonic construction.
Could you give an example of how vernacular design works in a contemporary setting? You know, the learnings taken from it can be applied.
We are trying very hard to learn about this. This is one thing I'm going to give at the lecture tonight as well. We have really done a lot of research on the vernacular solution of architecture. Like the one I like very much is this parking shedding. You found this kind of parking shedding everywhere in a very big space where you park the car. But then they put wheels into this parking shed. So you can move this parking shed in this big space anywhere you want to arrange the space. So I found this is brilliant that how come I never thought of this, that you build a roof with four pillars and you put wheels on, and then you can park the car anywhere in this space, for example, this kind of thing.
So it starts from something very simple, translated into a modern setting.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do.
You got your bachelor's from Chulalongkorn University, where you're now teaching, your master's from Columbia University, New York, PhD from the University of Tokyo. When you were making the decisions to go further your studies, was it based on these respective cities' architecture?
Well, I was born and grown up in Bangkok, so to study in Bangkok is quite natural. And then when I decided to do a master, I kind of looked around, and by then it was late 90s, and Columbia University was interesting, New York was interesting place, and all the interesting people were there, so I decided to go there. And personally, I didn't find really American architecture in general so interesting. So when I had to do my PhD, I decided to leave the States. And the question I got when I was living in New York and studying in Columbia University was more about what has happening in Thailand. And I had no idea by then. And so I thought that perhaps I should move back to Asia, because PhD would require a long time to do. And I thought that to be closer home in Asia would give me more opportunities to understand what's going on, what's have been going on in Asia in architecture. So I decided to come to Tokyo.
How important is place in an architect's education? I mean, can you get a great architectural education anywhere you go, or does it matter to be, you know, to pick where you end up? Because in some ways, from what I understand of the architects that I've spoken to, you know, there are just so many inspirations around, and you absorb so much of where you are because you're, of course, very, very aware of space and its use. So is it important to be in a place that you find inspiring?
Yes, of course. Being in these big cities really help you to understand how the world is going. And you understand how people live. You understand the way people spend their life. And especially New York and Tokyo, the state and Japan, they are totally different. They're totally like they have nothing in common in the mentalities of how they perceive the society, how they live, and everything else. So for me, it was extremely important to be in two different places, totally different. And this also gave me a chance to look back to Thailand, to Southeast Asia, from different perspective. And I think that was very important, not only the place you decided to leave, but then it encouraged you to make a comparison to the place where you were familiar.
I'm speaking today with Ratchaporn Chuchwe, Thai architect, co-founder of AllZone and assistant professor of architecture at Bangkok's Chulalongkorn University. And she's here as part of PAM's public lecture series. Up next, we find out more about what architects gain from education and further training. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Thai architect and co-founder of AllZone, Ratchaporn Chuchwe. We've been talking about the talk that's going to be happening tonight, Living Lightly, as well as your background. And Thailand, or rather Bangkok, New York, Tokyo. But in between Bangkok and New York, you worked at a firm briefly before continuing on to do your training. What was it that you wanted to explore through education that you thought you wouldn't be able to get out of work experience?
Well, the education I had in Thailand was very professional-oriented, less on conceptual side of architecture. So when I was doing my master, I would like to explore more on conceptual side of architecture, or the ideas of what architecture should be. And that was the interesting part of being in the master and also the PhD afterwards.
I read that your PhD thesis was titled Bangkok's Seven Tales of Modernity, which sounds like a really good film or novel. Could you share a little bit about that thesis?
Yeah, my idea of doing the PhD is that to understand the idea of how to build traditionally in Thailand and how it was transformed when we got the idea of how to build in the modern way or Western way. So it was the thesis was divided in seven chapters. That's why I said seven tales of modernity. But it's so fragmented in a way that I explore each specific case. That's why it's seven tales. But the overall is to understand how the way we build and the way we perceive architecture locally shifted through modernization. And it was interesting because, as you surely know very well, that Thailand is a bit different from the rest of Southeast Asia, that we didn't get formally colonized. So the way we modernized ourselves was slightly different. It was through the nobles and royal family who chose to modernize the country on specific field differently. So we would find something like the content and the form, they are not always fitting each other. You could find very Italian Renaissance building that looked like a cathedral, but actually it is a throne hall and organized in a very Thai traditional way. So my summary was on the how to manipulate on the form and the content.
You've experienced teaching of architecture across different continents, you know, having studied in different places. How different is it? Is it getting increasingly homogenized or is it very distinct?
You mean the teaching in different places?
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's getting more and more homogenized.
Right. So you can kind of get the same principles and get the same experiences in different places?
I think because of this communication technology nowadays, you go on internet and you see things and student and teacher, and they are going towards the same direction. You see the works of students in the States, in Europe, in Japan, and in Southeast Asia. They are more or less the same, and they use the same rendering programs and all this. Unfortunately, they are getting very homogenized to my ideas.
So now that you yourself are in academia and you're teaching, how do you approach it?
I'm trying to put a lot of local reality into my teaching, because all the rest, you cannot escape the homogenization or globalization, of course. But then if you look closely, you make very careful investigation in the reality around yourself, you will find a way to deal with this reality using all those equipments or technologies or knowledge that you get from everywhere.
What is it like wearing these different hats as a teacher, you know, interested in conveying principles, in,
yes,
you know, talking about these things, and as a commercial architect who, you know, has to make, I'm sure, sometimes certain sacrifices in certain areas?
Of course. Personally, I don't see them quite separated. The teaching allowed me to think more, to think deeply in more abstractly in a subject, but practicing as an architect allow me to exercise those ideas into reality. And luckily, we don't do many commercial projects, so it always able to discuss. Of course, sacrifice is the good words that you said, that sometimes we have to do something that we are not fully agree. But I think it is like everything else in life. And also teaching is not always very conceptual or very idealistic.
So they're not as far apart as they look at first?
No, not at all for me.
What did you want to achieve by setting up AllZone?
It was gradually, it was not affirmed that we really, really wanted to set up. It was, I started to work on my own with a friend, and then little by little, it was getting more and more serious. So finally, we had to set it up in more formal way. So it started from having some fun working together, and I think we are still having that feeling of doing the office.
Of my friends who have gone into architecture, not a single one of them have ever said it was easy. And
no.
all of them suffered, you know, sort of semi-nervous breakdowns during their university years. When did you know that architecture was something that you wanted to stick with? You know, this is the thing that you want to do.
I could say that I'm kind of old generation, that I wanted to do architecture during my high school years, because I was a good student in maths and physics and all those, but at the same time I liked art, and this is what people would say, that you should go to architecture school then, not engineering school. And this is how I did. And after that, I thought it was interesting, and I never reconsidered to do something else because I study architecture and I work in architecture. I continue my study in architecture and I never thought that I have any other choices. It's not like nowadays kids, at least my student, that they believe that they have many other choices, so they could jump from one to another, try one, and then they leave, and then they do other things. But I never really get suffer. Okay, it's very tiring job, but I thought it was quite fun to see what you think become reality.
But did you at one point almost give up?
No, it was not like give up architecture. I really like architecture. I wasn't so sure if I was good.
Right.
But I like architecture. But I thought I could do many other things in architecture field, but not being an architect.
Right. All the other things that can come along with it.
Yeah, all the other things, like to teach, to write, to do many other things, to set up some other activities that related to support architecture. But after I finished my PhD, I realized that I could do architecture the way I like. It's not that the way that I was supposed to do.
When you say you were worried that you weren't good, what is a good architect? I mean, what makes an architect good compared to another architect?
That's a good question. Even now, I don't even know. But I would say that for the time being, I would evaluate at least my architecture from the people who use them. If the people who use the building are satisfied, they are happy, the one who pay to build it are happy, I think at the first step it is good. But then architecture is something that requires time to evaluate. So perhaps in 10, 20, 50 years, if the building you did still get recognized, I think that could prove that your architecture is valid.
You've spoken before of your discomfort about how architects are perceived in Thai society. What is the image of architects in Thailand?
I think when I was studying architecture 20 years ago in Thailand, nobody knew what architects do. And when you said that you study architecture, people would say, what do you do?
You build buildings.
But we have engineers. What's that? And because we don't have much of the public's exposure of how architects would do for the society, and that's why people don't recognize us. They don't understand why they have to pay us. It's understandable because most of us work for private sector, only rich people. But I think nowadays it's getting better.
I understand also that you're not necessarily in favor of modernization and our compliance to its international building standards, which again goes back to the air conditioning, the air conditioning issue, having pointed out, as you say, that it's absurd that we have to do this when we have nice weather. What are the alternatives if we don't have, the kind of studio that we're sitting in right now, for instance, with our windows, with our air conditioning?
I think many architects in Southeast Asia are trying to work on this issue. Successfully or not, I think it will take time. I think that place like your studio, of course, we require very controlled environment. But then we have many other spaces that perhaps you don't need to control all the time, like the office space, you could hardly open. And then I think the computer nowadays is not that sensitive anymore that you could actually work in a kind of open air environment. So I think we should have more alternative. It's not that to go against air conditioning system, but
to take it all away.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find a better way of using it, or less space that occupied by air conditioning system.
And maybe we'd have fewer office fights about air conditioning if you give people options.
Yeah.
What projects are you working on at the moment?
The project that is the most intensive at the moment, that we are building the first contemporary art museum in Thailand. This is not my claim, but my client's claim, that it will be the very first contemporary art museum in Chiang Mai, Thailand. It will be open on July the 3rd. In less than 2 months from now, and it is a transformation of and a very old warehouse into a contemporary art space, and we are all excited about it.
And finally, what would you like to leave us with in terms of understanding, I guess, where you're coming from in terms of architecture and where you'd like to see it headed?
I would speak of not Thailand or Bangkok, but I think Southeast Asia has a great potential in the term of built environment. We have great weather, we have great resources, we have great cultures, but we still very immature in developing architecture that suitable for our environment and lifestyle. And I think we have still a long way to do, but I'm sure that it is a great potential. The more I meet people in Southeast Asia, architects and the younger generation, I'm quite certain that something very interesting will come out from our region very, very soon.
So you're optimistic?
I am very.
Catch Ratchaporn Chu Chui tonight, 7 p.m. at Publica's Black Box as part of Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia's public lecture series. Ratchaporn, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ratchaporn Chu Chui, co-founder of AllZone and assistant professor of architecture at Bangkok's Chulalongkorn University. And you've been listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.